Here yesterday, and I think yesterday will go down in my world as a service long to remember. Thank you, Elder Rosa. Thank you, Church at Madera, Brother Klon. Thank you for the accommodations, hospitality that's been said. All the good people of this valley, I so appreciate you. I love you. And I got something on my mind this morning. I don't apologize if you have heard this. I don't never worry about folks that's heard it twice. I'm just worried about those that's never heard it. Everybody here that's heard this twice is my friend, so I can say this. If you hear it the second time, that problem means you needed it. Praise God. So when you hear a preacher and he said, "Oh, before you, you got the wrong attitude." Amen. You ought to know where he's going, and you ought to get up there, and you're going to say, "Come on, preach it." Amen. You know, I don't even know if I like a song until I've heard it two or three times. I don't know what most of the time, you know, and after I hear the message of it, I anticipate. Praise God. Let's go to 2 Kings this morning, a place to go from. I'm telling you, thank you, brethren, that preached yesterday. I got up and started writing this morning, and so I'm bringing some stuff with me here this morning. But I really won't. I don't know what to do here this morning except preach. And I'm going to slow it down probably quite a bit. But the Bible said, now, this is 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And tell me, what hast thou? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, "Go and borrow." It's amazing how many words we get from God that begins with "go." Go. Borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and let me give you a clue. Don't borrow just a few. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said to her, "There's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed, or it stopped flowing." Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go." There it is again. "Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live." Go, sell, pay, and live. children of the rest. And that's really the essence of the gospel. Go and sell and pay and live. And everybody say, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now here, we don't really know her name. Seems to me that names were not really that important in some areas. But she is in dire straits. I thought about last night. We're on this side of repentance tonight. Today we should be. Maybe last night we were on the other side. But today we're on the right side of repentance. And if you're not, I probably can't help you. If you're here last night and you're not on the right side, I'm just going to tell you, you are beyond me. But I'm on the right side today. And as far as I'm concerned, this service today is about your future. It's about tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow has always been important to God. Joshua said in chapter 3, I believe it was 5 of the book of Joshua, sanctify yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow. Sanctify. Sanctify. That comes from a big old word called sanctification. Pretty simple, the basic essence of sanctification is to come out from and separate yourself from the world. And not only the world, but everything that will not become part of this kingdom and does not complement and add to this glorious gospel. Other things. But if you separate yourself from something, you need to dedicate yourself to something. Hardest thing is to just be good. And just don't sin. You're going to have something that you can commit yourself to. Amen. Commit yourself. Dedicate yourself to righteousness. Dedicate yourself to the kingdom of God. Then not only do we consecrate and dedicate and commit, but sanctification is not really complete until there is an infilling. An infilling. And so if there was a separation last night, which I feel like there was, there needs to be a commitment to something, a dedication to something. This service, as far as my little part, is about tomorrow. The Lord really don't care how we arrive. He cares how we leave. Never, never is He interested in your arrival. But He is concerned about how we leave. This is what church is all about. It's about leaving right. Amen. And really, it don't matter what kind of a home you're born into. It matters how you leave this world. I never saw a baby section in the hospital that said success or failure. Or engineer or doctor. Or laborer or whatever. It's just boy or girl. God's not concerned how we come in, but oh, is He ever concerned about how we leave here. And so here is a woman in dire straits. She is, I say it often, she's between that proverbial rock and hard place. Her past is dead. Her past is non-negotiable. Her past is was good, but it's no longer viable. It's not currency. Her husband was a good man. Maybe a servant of one of the prophets, but he's dead. The past looks very frightening. It's never looked worse than it does this morning, as far as she's concerned. And she is living her life between two thieves, her past and her future. And God was not concerned about her past. But He was very much concerned about her future. That's the way this meeting is this week. I felt strongly that there was going to be be some major paradigm shifts this week and some life changes, and I never dreamed that I would be number one. But I come this week not to just look, but I come to partake of this. And thank God I did. Praise God. And it's not over yet. Maybe the best is yet to come, and not the least of that will be Pastor Garza. Amen. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. Let me tell you the little story, and I'll get on. My relief's not here yet. Brother Howard's not here yet. He's my relief, you know. You can go home. You can quit work when your relief gets here. And so I'm waiting on him. He don't know this, but I'm going to be more happy to see him than anybody here. But I don't know her name, but she really has no place nor part in this holy writ and holy narrative. But she elbows her way in. She's got a problem, and she knows where to go with it. She goes to church. She goes to the man of God. There'll be more happen in one service in our apostolic church than you'll ever know in 10,000 charismatic big top moves. There'll be more real gifts of the Spirit operate while your preacher's preaching. And there'll be more things happen than you'll ever imagine in the Holy Ghost. One man said, I begin to believe that God honors faith above truth. I said, not so. It cannot be. There is a deceiving spirit. There's a seducing spirit in the end time. I'm going to tell you, if it's not connected to truth, brother, I don't want anything to do with it. If it's not connected at the heart with this one God message and the separation from this world, I want nothing to do with it. Don't matter if they raise the dead. I'm just telling you how I feel about it. And this story is going to have a good ending because there was a real man of God in her life. Real man of God. He wasn't one God man. He was a righteous man. I'm gonna bear to you my heart here today. Amen. This service is really about tomorrow. And I want to talk about that in just a little while. But here she is. She goes to church, and she cried. I heard that cry last night. So seldom do you hear that heartfelt cry that absolutely puts God to work. She cried. It was a prayer. It was so deep and so real and so genuine to whatever God was centered on. He came right into that little service. I'm telling you, there's still a cry that will bring God right in the middle of your crisis. And he will come to help you regardless of what else he's doing. Say praise the Lord. Creating other galaxies, creating other constellations, it don't matter. Brother, when his people start to pray, I'm just telling you, he gets in a hurry. He's already here. You know, I told our church, I said, you know what, two or three are gathered together. He's in a nest, and one lady that, I don't know if she was that simple or not, she said, Brother McMullen, I really think if he can get one of us together, he'll be there. I said, you're right. But she went to church. She went to church. And the cry that puts God to work. Don't forget that cry. And you have the potential to create that cry. And I have that potential to create that cry. Can you say praise the Lord? And I'm hurrying today, but the man of God did not say why or how. You ought to be ashamed, or you should have done better. You should have managed. No. No reprimand. No condemnation. He didn't say you're in a mess. He didn't say this is going to be tough. He just said, I want to know what you have left. That's what I want to know about. I want to know, what do you have left? All of a sudden, what's left becomes the focal point of her tomorrow. Her thinking was that if I had more to offer, maybe if I hadn't have made such a mess, maybe if we'd have a little more wisdom, maybe it wouldn't be so hard on God giving out a miracle. I'm just telling you, folks. What I'm going to tell you today, I want you to hear me. This is true. Your future does not depend on your past. Neither does it depend on what you can contribute to your future. I'm going to tell you, her future depended on her obedience to the Word of God. And nothing more or less. Somebody here says, you know, if things hadn't just went down the way they did, I'd have a lot more to offer God. But God said, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. That's not even, you just got to understand that if you got a whole bunch to offer Him, well, thank God for it. But that's not what this is about today. It's about your tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you that every new beginning in a life, the emphasis is always on obedience. A fresh emphasis on obedience. Every time God gets ready to turn a page, every time God gets ready to give a man a new beginning, the emphasis is on obedience to the Word. Obedience most of the time to the writ, all the time, but a lot of times there's a rhema, there is a spoken word. And these prophets, they spoke things. And it always involved the person most of the time that was going to get the miracle. It always involved them. This is one thing I have learned. If God's going to do a great thing for me, and He is, He really wants me involved in what He's doing. He doesn't want me to go take a vacation while He works it out. He's really not concerned about me eating chicken and drinking Kool-Aid while He works it out. He wants me to get on the same page with Him. He wants me to be thinking like He's thinking. I'm going to tell you what He wants, brother. It's His Spirit, but He wants my hands in there. And if you are unwilling to do this, you are trapped. You are forever ensnared right where you are. Because when God says, when He gets ready, and He's ready, He's going to say, come on, I want you to involve your work with me. I want you to help me get this done. Amen. And so here we go, folks. Sit down. What I want to know is what's left. Now, here is where the rubber meets the road. Right here is where we have a problem, because we always minimize what's left. And we always magnify what we have lost. It's always too much. Brother, if I'd have just had a little more sense, if I'd had a presence of mind, if I'd had the insight, if I had the knowledge, No. God is saying, you know what? I'm up to something big. I'm up to something big in your life. I'm up to something big in your life. Now, we're going to start here today. But it's not going to consummate here in the service. What you get at church today, you get to take it home with you. Your miracle sort of began in this service today or last night. I'm going to tell you the concept of most of us is, God, if you don't do it at church, it's not going to get done. The miracle begins at the house of God, and it lasts as long as you can remember it. Your salvation depends a lot on your memory, where you came from, what God has done for you. Amen. And there are things that I know that happen to church, but we lose them before here in the house. Because was the memory of that message and the memory of what God is connected. As long as you keep the memory of that service last night, that service is going to be effective in your life. As long as you keep the memories of that service yesterday, they will have an effect in your life. You've got to understand there's too many things screaming for our attention between that meal was so good last night, that fellowship was so good. You know what? It has to be a powerful sermon to get past the fellowship. It has to be a powerful thing, brother, to last from Sunday to Wednesday. You just got to understand there's too many things love's bidden for. And understand, beloved, the miracle will last as long as you remember it. God has began a lot of miracles in our services only to have been lost before we got home. Lord, he is telling her, you're going to have to believe me. I'm going to help somebody by the grace of God. God starts things in church, and really, it's a done deal. Really, it's a done deal. If you can hold on. You see, when he started in church that day, I'm going to tell you, this man Elijah, he could say it in a few words. If I got up here and give you the answer in a few words and sat down, you'd say, that ain't what I come for. I come for about at least 30, 40 minutes. He said, I tell you what, I got the answer here. But that wouldn't work today. You didn't come all this way to get the answer. You come to get some whatever. I hope you get it. But I got the answer, and it wouldn't take me long to tell you. I could tell you the plan for the present darkness in our life in just a few words. God has a plan for this Laodicean mentality. Amen. And it's a plan that always works in every generation and in every dispensation. Said now, you've got to understand that you got what's left. You don't need to go anywhere else. And brother, that just blew her mind to think that it's going to start with me. With me. There's nothing left. Oh, yes, I got a pot of oil. The Holy Ghost, he wrote in on that pot of oil. And one translation said it was a small pot of oil. One translation said there was enough oil left just for one more anointing. And that's all you really need, brother. One more anointing to pray, and one more anointing to worship, and one more anointing to go to church. Say, praise the Lord. And so here it is. And I will tell you all over again, little is much when God is in it. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard sell. And I know we got our cup full, brother. My cup runneth over last night. Amen. But we're here again, so we might as well listen to what the Holy Ghost would try to tell us. Say, praise the Lord. God don't have really any difficulties. Only difficulty he has is the material he's working with. And it's a hard thing to do a big thing with small thinking people. Amen. Shake your head this way. Now, I know there's nobody like that here, but in Texas, brother. Brother Bullock knows we got some folks that we have a problem with. If you tell them God's going to bless them in a big time way, and they look at you like you're something to be auctioned off, it can't happen here. God's going to bless you. Well, we're too poor. We can't afford to be blessed. I've been sick so long, don't even tell me that God's going to heal me. I've been prayed for so many. And so here I go again. I'm telling you, God's up to something big in this meeting right here. It's not all over. It's not all over. We're making progress every service. But I am telling you, I want to say it, and I don't mean to be facetious, but the best is yet to come. Because what God started in this house has got to make it to your house. Because what God has started in this meeting, basically, will be wasted if it don't make it home with you. Does this make sense? Don't underestimate what's going on here right now. Well, there's more power in the preaching of an apostolic service. God works out more things here than we'll ever know, because there's an anointing in the Word. And there's an anointing that comes from the congregation to help the preacher preach. Amen. And I mentioned it maybe at Encore, I don't know, but I told a church about God about to do something big. They told me later, said, "Brother, we couldn't think of anything else after you said that. But God's going to do something big." And our mind was here. Good people. Holiness people. Worshiping people. But didn't have enough faith to believe that God would do something big for them. This is a hard sell here this morning. I can tell you that. You're not buying into this yet. Maybe you're tired from last night and not. You're still sleepy, but I'm just telling you. He said, "Now you go home and you don't borrow a few pots." With your mindset, well, I know. your mindset. You can go buy two pots. You can understand I can't do anything bad if you don't cooperate with me. Or sometime in service you hear this. Somebody's mind stretching. Somebody's brain stretching. Oh, man, what do you mean, bless me? Yeah. Well, there's a lady there that had palsy. She was dying of palsy. Her mother died of palsy, and maybe, if I remember right, her grandmother died of palsy. She had lost all her hair from this all forward, and she was going down south to have to go to a liberal church. Now, I'm going to tell you that some of us, we just know that there's not enough gospel in a liberal church to preach to be saved. You've got to go when somebody makes it plain about repentance. You've got to understand that our churches are doing everything but dealing with sin. And so some of us believe that you've got to have a strong enough church to reach down for that lame man and pick him up. Amen. So that night, she received. Everybody say she received. This is where I'm going, and I'm going quickly. I don't know where my relief's at, but he's on his way. Praise God. Anyhow, she received. She came to service the next morning. She awoke. And brother, whatever, and she was completely healed, and that demon of palsy had left her, and she ran out that next day. Now, if you demand God do everything for you in this service, you're going to cut God short. And that's like what I have seen, brother, is that God wants to do it his own way. He don't want no help. He said, I'll handle it my own way. Amen. I'm going to tell you this for the glory of God. Most of you know this good man. And all the way I'm saying this is passing. It's not for me because I don't do nothing except preach. Every preacher, we just do our best. God, anybody's healed, we got enough sense to know who did it. He's got nail prints in his hand. Amen. Anyhow, this man came to the meeting with an aneurysm. The way I understood it was an operative. And I mentioned this probably, but I'll just say this in passing because I got to hurry. I saw him over here, and I'm nothing, I'm just a preacher, but I couldn't get him. Every time I looked back, his head just got bigger and bigger and bigger. It wasn't an aneurysm. And I called his name, brother. I said, "Brother, about that aneurysm, all is well. Don't worry about that aneurysm." I just kept on preaching. You know what that man did? He had the capacity to receive the word. Oh, come on, you. Come on, folks. This is the difference.
Brother, that man went home. He told his wife, he said, that's mine. I'm healed. I'm healed. All I said was, all is well. He received it, brother. Knowing him, he went home. I know. He went home. He went to see that doctor vegetable. You know, you can't get in to see a doctor. He got in to see the doctor. I'm telling you, he wormed his way right through. He said, I've got to have an x-ray now. He said, you did this last week. I want one now. And it wasn't me. You've got to understand, greater is the man that can hear the word and say, that's mine. That's mine. I'm going to apply this to my life. What God has started in this thing is going to depend on what you're doing with it. It's not in the hands of the ministry. It's in your hands. Brother, he went and he got that x-ray. And brother, it was as plain as the nose on your face. That one showed it big and in real livid color. And the other, it was gone in Jesus' name. He said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. You know, you'd be a fool to take credit for that. Preacher, be a fool to say, I didn't even know it happened. 3 months down the road, somebody said, you hear about Brother Saul? I said, no, I didn't hear about him. I thought maybe they'd say it. I didn't know. I didn't even forgot about saying it. He said, he's healed. He came to one of the meetings. He said, another meeting. He said, I come to tell you. And this is where the lights turned on. He said, Brother McMullen said, all is well, and said, I received it. He said, I received it. Oh, it's going over your head. It's too early in the morning for this heavy stuff. I'm going to tell you, if you receive the word of the Lord today, and you receive the plan, the plan, the plan, the plan, your life's going to change even more today. Amen. Amen. So you may be seated. Said, you know, I don't have much hope. Don't go borrow just 2 pots. Here again, I say it often, but I got to say it again. Elijah went down to Zarephath, I believe it was. And there's a woman there that had very little to live on. And he said, but you go make me a cake first. And she said, I don't have anything. Said, I got just enough. And said, I got 2 sticks. And go build a fire. I thought about these 2-stick people. They're not even going to build a big fire. You're going to have to get away from small thinking people. You're going to limit God what he's doing by your little diminutive mind. I'm just telling you, he's a big God and he's doing big things all the time. And if you've got cancer, he's healing your cancer somewhere right now, the same kind. And if you need financial problems, he's working something out just similar to you right now. He's still God. He's doing it right now. You need family. You need relational problems. He's working something else similar to that right now. Somebody needs to receive something here today. It's more than a pretty sermon. I got to tell you. But here comes the catch now. You may be seated. I'm cutting through all this. Here's the catch. He said, now, I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going to give you a plan. This is where the rubber meets the road. Oh, you mean I'm going to have something to... Yeah. And he told Israel, said, you know what? You need some water? You need a whole lot of water? Well, go dig some ditches. Oh, you mean
My hand don't fit a shovel, it better. And I'm going to tell you, if you need a lot of water, you need some deep ditches. You're going to go dig a shallow ditch, you're going to get a little bit of water. Is that right? Go dig something. Leave and sit. I thought you'd wave your hand over me. What I really need here tonight is somebody to pray for me and let me shout and go home and it's all done. I'm going to tell you, God's going to send something home with you today and see what you're going to do. I'm going to tell you, your miracle, I'm not going to get out there. I'm just going to tell you, your miracle is going to depend on what you do with the plan. God's got a plan for this end time. If you don't have a plan, you use my plan. It'll work. I'm telling you, when that king came, he said, you want deliverance? I'm telling you, you got personal deliverance, and your nation's going to get deliverance. Here, take these arrows and get out there. Oh, my God, get out there. Oh, my, how embarrassing. He probably was half-hearted in everything he did. But God always involves you. I thank God for everything that's settled before you leave. But what I'm trying to tell you is a whole lot of stuff that's never settled. But the beginning has come. And God has already started your healing. He's already started your deliverance. It's about your tomorrow, sir. And if you don't get it in church, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. Because outside these walls, ain't much going on, but I'm telling you, I can go on, and it's not me, but I'm just telling you, whatever you preach, that's what you get. And there's people being healed all over this country just simply because somebody's preaching the word. People being saved all over this. People are repenting all. What I'm going to tell you, here's the plan. Now, this is what you got to do now. You go home and bother some pots. Oh, my God. Pots. How embarrassing. You mean pots? I mean, you in a money-making thing, lady, if you knew it. Well, if you knew what I knew, you'd have hit the ground running. You'd have got tubs. Wheels and cisterns in there. I mean, we got a money-making thing going on. Because as long as you've got an empty vessel, that's all it's going to flow. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let me go to my plan tonight. My release on his way by faith in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you the plan here tonight. It's found in today in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20 and 21. This is the plan for the present darkness. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to your mountain. I changed that, but I didn't change it. Your mountain. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. How be it? Everybody say, how be it? Brother, that's a Bible word. Wherewithal, therewithal, all that. How be it? This kind. Say this kind. Come on, say this kind. This is the kind that don't respond to prayer alone. This kind. Goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, I'm going to drop it on you here today. We live in a generation that if you mention fasting, it makes headlines. If you mention fasting, you're going to get a sympathetic. I've been made fun of. I've been mocked. I've been laughed at. I'm still trucking, brother. You understand, a big old German shepherd, and I'm not a big old German shepherd, but if he stopped and had to tend every chihuahua that come out and went to barking, you would never get any word. Pick a poo. So a lady giving something in a bottle, in a little deal like that, water. I looked, it was moving. It's a pick a poo. You let every little pick a poo come. She's on the plane. Amen. You let every little pick a poo come out, and you got to stop everything and go chase that down. Hey, brother, we need to just keep trucking here. You hear me? I'm going to preach it. 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 I'm going to tell you he's still God, folks. I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes. I see my relief coming in, so I'm winding her down. You may be seated. I'm going to talk about this thing, and I've joined them together. It's not my coining this word, but I'm going to call this the fasting prayer, where you join prayer and fasting together. There's a man named Franklin Hall coined this phrase, and I want to talk about this a little bit. I want to tell you that this is the most powerful prayer prayed under heaven. It is prayer under the auspices of a consecrated fast. You're not interested. It is the faith what's delivered to the saints. It has been in every generation. We are probably the first generation, and I know there's men and women here who are skilled and adept at fasting, and I know that you're gifted in the spirit, and I certainly am. But I'm just telling you, as the normal Pentecostal, they cannot remember when they fasted 24 hours. Just a thing of the past. It's apostolic, folks. It's in your Bible. Two things Jesus did before he started his ministry. The Bible said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he fasted 40 days. Now, I'm not going to even go there. I mean, I'm going to lose you right there if you think I'm going there. But I'm telling you, before he ever got started, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he had a fasting lifestyle. Praise God. The Holy Ghost anointed him to teach. The Holy Ghost anointed him to preach. But that fasting, when you want power over spirits and satanic power, you've got to pull the heavy weapon down. There is nothing that gets your attention any quicker than fasting. I'm getting humble just thinking about it right now. I got friends that say, brother, when I start thinking about a three-day fast, by the time I start, I don't even need it. I'm so humble. Praise God. Here it is. Here we're talking about this. We're talking about a generation that has lost the key. This is the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and this is apostolic doctrine. This is apostolic power. And I'm going to tell you that I'm on a campaign, brother. I say, God, if you let me preach two times in a place, I'm going to preach this, so help me, if half of them's heard it, I'm going to preach it one more time. I'm going to preach it one more time, and I want to preach it right. I want a right spirit. I don't want to set myself up as an authority of anything. I just know what works, brother. I know what works. And you may be seated. I'm going to tell you where I'm going, so you won't get ready to dread and almost die just thinking about a long, extended fast. I'm not even talking about that. The elder said it last night, that the Pharisee says, I fast twice a week. It had become such a traditional thing till it had lost its power and it become a thing of self-righteousness. They fasted 2 days a week. They went on Tuesday and Thursday. So somebody I read said that celebrated Moses' ascent and descent from the mountain. Where they got it, I don't know. But this is what's happened to me. I want everybody to hear me. It's the greatest thing that's happened to me since I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Before I say it, let me tell you, there's no quicker way to the spirit world than abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. That's what fasting is. There is no quicker way to tap in to the spirit world. All religions that have any kind of a success, they are aware of this. Craft knows it. The witchcraft knows it. They are adept at fasting. The American Indian knows it. If you want power, you've got to somehow abstain from food. And the Muslims know it. They say if they go through one Ramadan, they will be a Muslim for life. There's something that enters their spirit. The Hindus know it. The Buddhists know it. And I am telling you, we are the first generation of apostolics that's trying to make it without fasting being on our agenda and our protocol and our lifestyle. I don't mind telling you, folks, it ain't working. It ain't working. It ain't working. God only knows, and I don't want to be critical, because who am I? I know where I live. Brother Bullock knows where I live. We live about 2 miles apart, 3 miles apart. I'm not trying to be something here today that I'm not at home. I'm just telling you that we can satisfy ourselves with all the services, and they're good and they're great. But I'm telling you, beyond repentance is miracles. Beyond repentance is tomorrow. Beyond this meeting this week is tomorrow. I want to give you something to take home with you. You may be ashamed of it, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. It just sort of set in my world, brother. November, this is fasting. The Jews have about 22 days of fasting a year, but only one is really worth being called a fast. It's Yom Kippur. It's their day of affecting. That word in Leviticus 16 says that you affect yourself. It means to humble yourself. Every Jew knows that to humble yourself before God means to fast. And every Jew in this world knows that when you get in a crisis, you push that plate back. I'm coming up against an old natural man here. You know why? You know why the natural man's fighting this? Because he knows if we ever start anything along this line, he's out of business. He's out of business. So I never teach this. I never preach this as easy, brother. I come up against all kind of spirit. But men that take the message home, I'm just telling you, it's a life changer. It's a life changer. Some of you don't need your life change. You love where you're at. But I don't. I'm ready to move on up. Amen. But what happened to me? A brother was coming, was talking about fasting, and he said, you know, brother, this is how I do it. So I fast every day, several days a week, to 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The rest of the Jewish fast days are, and some of you may do research on this, but it's they eat around 3 or 4. Evening sacrifice after that. They fast. They call that a fast day. I'm talking about everything but Yom Kippur, the day that you afflict yourself. And Paul said, and what it was at 29 and 27 and 9 in the book of Acts, he said, it's dangerous to sail now because the fast was past. That meant the day of Yom Kippur, the day of atonement was on, and they called it, they got to calling it the fast day. The fast day. And if I could get somebody to buy into this and tell you that your prayer.
decided that at least 2 days a week, at least 2 days, people laugh at me. They make fun of me. And I'm telling you, brother, just go ahead and laugh. I'm telling you what works. This has been the most powerful thing to come into my life since the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm not comparing it to services like we had yesterday. I'm just telling you, this is ever with you. And we got folks that go 3 and 4 days a week. You know the Spartan army, the greatest fighting army, they're just known for strength and endurance. They eat one meal a day. Some of you can already see you just drying up and shriveling up. We get off this 5 meal a day business, brother. You'll make it. You'll make it. I don't know anybody's died from it. This is really the way to grow old. You hear me? You don't want to hear me. You're taking blood pressure. You're taking high blood. You're taking 15 kinds of pills. I'm telling you, this here will get you off the pills. You don't want to hear this today. I'm just telling you, this is the closest route to the spirit world. And fasting and prayer don't make it easy, but it makes it possible. It makes the impossible possible. I'm going to tell you, I'm about told you all, I'm going to tell you too. But there's nothing here today. There's no kind of circumstance. There's no demon in this house. There's no demon in this house. There's no habit. There's no curse. There's no judgment that will not yield and go for this agendas in your life. Praise God. Somebody said praise the Lord. You're looking at me. Now, this is going to be an option. You're going to figure this out now. I'm going to tell you what. She said, I got a need, and I'm really not good at buying pots, but I'm going to go buy pots. Somebody said, man, I like to eat too. You don't like it no more than us McMullins, I promise you. My wife and girls is the only McMullin you would. Oh, God. These things have a way of getting around that you ever see under 300 pounds. We love it. We eat ourselves to death. Literally. Praise God. Somebody say, boy, I'll tell you, this is a, brother Howard, I'm glad you, I'm going to turn this over to you in a minute. I can't even get some folks to smile here today. You know what? If I was the devil, I'd get out of here right now. That's what I do, because if somebody decides that I'm ready for a change, I'm ready. A minimum of 2 days a week. We're talking about 3. My wife does it 3 and 4 days a week. We eat at 3 and 4, and if sometimes this flesh has given me problems, well, I just make it wait. You may be seated. I read about an Englishman. He heard about this, and he had a problem fasting. Every time he got out of the car, every time he smelled every bread, every hamburger, every bacon smell, he's picking up, brother, having problems all day. Stomach give him a fit. Said toward the evening, he said, no, stomach. Mean you've got to have a talk. Said, you messed up my day. Said, you just been out of control. So, because of this, I'm going to fast tomorrow. God, help me. I'm just telling you. Look down south. We may not be smart, but we got a sense of humor. Intelligent folks, they don't laugh much, I guess. Praise God. I'm about to get in trouble again, too. I know how to do that, too. But here we go, brother. 3 and 4 and 5 days. And listen to Brother McMullen. This is the beginning. conditioning yourself for a longer fast. You've got to understand that the spirits of hell have been turned loose in this present world. And the answer for your dilemma and chaos and darkness in this present darkness is you're going to have to fight spirits with spiritual application. But I'm not telling you that not a doctor in the world could have helped Job because he was up against a spiritual malady, a spiritual attack. I went in a bookstore the other day. You may not be tuned into nothing but what you see, can hear and eat and read. But I'm telling you, there's a world out there that's tuned in to something or another. They're hearing voices. They're seeing things. They're plugged in, brother. I walked into a bookstore with a preacher friend of mine, and here she was, brother. She had pink hair. She had earrings, and she had eyes dilated and tattoos, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But I looked at her. Something clicked in me. I said, have you got the guilt? She looked at me and those eyes got big and she says, yes, I've got the gift. And my mother's got the gift too. And she knows what I'm thinking right now. All I'm telling you here, we're trying to get out that door after a while. But there's somebody plugged into a spirit world, brother, and they're getting vibes. And here we go that don't even believe in the supernatural. Don't even believe in the moving and the working of demons. Oh, that's just somebody's law. Brother, they're plugged in. You hear me? They're taking this world over, and we don't have a clue. I'm going to tell you what, we like it this way. Don't disturb us with facts. Don't tell us about us. Because that's too spooky. That's superstitious. I came out of voodoo. I came out of witchcraft. But I'm telling you, it's rampant. And if we're going to do anything for God in this end time, we're going to have to bring this old proven weapon out. This fasting, brother. Come on now. Come on now. You've got to understand behind every great miracle in the Bible, if you get right down to it, it's not only prayer, but it's fasting. I do want to close, but I could tell you many things. You already know it. Be seated, please. Esther. Esther was in quite a bind. She didn't know it. She's like us. She's sheltered. She didn't know there's a war going on. But as long as we got something to eat and something to play on, we all right. As long as we can play our pads and our technology, we don't care. You just got to understand where the first generation is trying to make it and absolutely ignoring this taproot that goes all the way back to our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles. Esther! Amen. You got to understand she was sheltered. But brother, when she found out that we had real problems, Haman came closer to destroying the whole Jewish nation than anything ever before. Hitler was nowhere near this. He ruled over every province in the world, 127. And every Jew in the world lived under his jurisdiction. And it was signed, and it was sealed, and it was delivered. And then us would fall to pieces. But a Jew, they knew what to do. Mordecai already had them fasting on the outside. What do you do when things go south on you? You've got to understand the first thing you do is pull out the heavy weights, brother. It's not breathing a little prayer, but you get down on your prayer bones and you say, God, this prayer is going to be punctuated with fasting. This is the greatest prayer could ever be prayed under the auspices and the power and the
you can't understand. I think it's very well. And here she is. She's got everything. Every Jew, brother, you got to understand that this was an honor tip to rid the world of Messiah, of the church. All the prophecies and the covenants was in this Jewish people. It was all, and said, well, can you change this? And said, no, we can't change this. No, the law says you can't change it. Brother, they had our government, they change it. But anyhow, law or no law. Shouldn't have said that, but we can't change it. And brother, here we are. What are we going to do? We're just going to die? And brother, something stood up in her, and she remembered her roots. Outside that wall, they were fasting and praying and sackcloth and ashes. And brother, something stood up in her, and she was no longer Esther. Amen. What was her name? Hadassah. Hadassah. I am Hadassah. I am Jewish. She said, you go tell them. You go fast and you pray. And I will fast and pray. And we will go 3 days and 3 nights without food or water. And brother, that old spirit rose up in her that needs to rise up in me and you. And she said, if I perish, I perish. And the Bible said on the third day, that next chapter, verse number chapter 4 or 5, on the third day of her fast, that's what that means, on the third day of her fast, she walked in there. She had not been called in 30 days. She walked in there and God smote that pagan heart. He saw her like he had never saw her. 3 days of purifying and cleansing her body. That beauty and that radiance just, brother, he was overwhelmed with an old-fashioned love affair. They say, the wise one said, the history said, he got off his throne, he walked down to her and said, my love, why have you not come sooner? He took that robe off and put it around her shoulders and said, you ask what you want to, baby. And I just put that in. To the half of the kingdom, it's yours. You know why that turned out that way? The big guns were moved in. You know why that turned out that way? She knew from just a child that when you get in trouble, you fast. That gives me new, and this is the way that God has of humbling. This is God's means of humbling these people. Fast, and that's another thing. When it said, humble yourself before the Lord. And pray. What he's telling the Jewish people, you fast. I'm about through. Anybody buying? I'm selling. I'm telling you to get ready. These churches look at me and they agree, well, but they don't intend to do it. They don't intend to do it. And then that's their business. It's not me. But I'm telling you, wherever I go and I teach this, it is such an impact. It is such a radical. You know what it does? You're never away very far from a day of fast. And you're not going to die. Today is Friday. Let's not even talk about it. Wednesday and Friday is our fast day. I'll eat whenever we get through here because I'll make up for it. It's not a rigid thing. It's just what I do. It's just what I do. It's just how I live. I'm not. Brother Pace, I taught this in his church. And brother, he called me and said, Brother McMillan, so many things have happened since we started this. I'm just telling you, this is just the way it is. I don't get no cut on nothing. I'm just preaching my heart, folks. I'm just telling you, we're up against eternal ancient spirits. And we're dealing on it with our carnal mind. That carnal mind. Oh, I got to quit. Let's stand. I can quit. I can quit. Let's stand. Why don't we lift our hands and praise the Lord here right now with me? Come on, this is a hard sell, brother.
I guess if there's anything harder than preaching repentance, it's preaching fasting. Come on. Whatever sickness you have, God knows. I'm going to tell you, if you'll put forth just a little effort, folks, God's going to heal that sickness. Come on. You give God 30 days with this. You give God 6 months with this. Come on, let's lift our hands. Is anybody here? I'm not wanting to keep you here, but anybody here that's interested in this would make a move. Just say, brother, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to try this. Just come stand with me. I'll let you go. I'm not trying to get it. I'm just saying, if you can, I'm not, this is not separating good from bad, spiritual from non-spiritual. I just want you to know. Come on, brother. There's something here. There's something here in this that's helped me. It's transformed my life. I'm not the man I used to be. No. I'm fasting today and I'm not bragging about that. It is a sight when fasting makes headlines in the so-called apostolic church. And a so-called apostolic movement that they look at you like, come on, folks, you're not. Let's pray here tonight. I'm just telling you, you get ready for new horizons, new vistas. Get ready for new adventures and new victories. Yes, there's new battles. There's not